love is a huge thing. How many of you know that we just talked a little bit about your faith in God? Amen. And how many of you know that Bible faith, come on, works by love? The Bible says faith works by what? Love. Amen. And so I don't believe it's a faith issue, because Romans 12:3 says that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. And so in order for that faith muscle to grow, how many of you know you don't need more faith? Come on, you need to exercise what's already been given to you. Come on, you need to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you need to make a bold faith stance concerning areas of our lives. And how many of you know when you learn to get the victory in your own life, you can stand with somebody else and take the various types of prayer, one of those being the prayer of agreement, amen, and you can get an agreement with somebody, and you could say, hey, man, I'm just going through some stuff, and I just need you, according to the word, to come and believe with me. Come on. And how many of you know you can do that? Amen. So you could take that measure, exercise it, and your faith will then grow. Amen. And so if faith works, faith is important. And in this church, we teach very much on that subject, and we try to weave that through all of our messages. And you say, well, what's that got to do with today? Today's message, if you're taking notes, I want to talk to you about love God, love people. I've spoken this word before. I changed it up a little bit, and I had this on my heart to be the first message of 2020 that we speak, because if you'll look on the back here, turn your head back here. If everybody would turn their head back here, when you come in, you see Destiny Church. What does it say? Live, love, and lead. It says live through community, love what? Unconditionally with God's love, and then lead passionately. Where? In Walmart, in your community, when you go to work. Amen. That what? People can see some authenticity. Amen. And they see an authentic Christian, right? That is just a level-headed guy or gal that goes through life, experiences things, but we get the victory because of what Jesus Christ did in his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. And through the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for you and me is the perfect demonstration of love. Amen. God the Father sent that which was precious to him. And our Heavenly Father, who is love, sent his very best gift, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so when you come in the building, you see live, love, lead. When you look back at the stage, you see these two signs to the right and to the left. You see Destiny Church, and what do you see, folks? You see live, love, lead. Live through community, love unconditionally, and lead passionately. Now, a lot of places may say that differently, but the bottom line, we are called to be, right, believers, to receive Jesus Christ, right? But we're also called to be demonstrators, amen. So this life that we live in Christ Jesus isn't just for us. It's to demonstrate that life out in this generation, in this world, that people may see your good works and what? Glorify the Father, which is in heaven. And you say, well, what are you talking about? That's the sum of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What are you talking about? I'm talking about loving God and loving people. So the mission, I don't really want to speak about the heart of this church and where we're going in 2020. Amen. And I don't have a 21 days of fasting sheet. How many of you know we're gonna teach on that, and we're going to teach fasting. Fasting is a good thing. Many churches are doing that, and we're going to teach that. How many of you know fasting and praying is a thing? It's a beautiful thing. It's actually scriptural. And so there's some benefits from that. But I felt like the first message of this year needs to be, and I just had it on my heart to communicate, what this church is about, what the heart of this church is about. What are we to be about as far as God's people? Amen. And so if this seems like very simple, I'm excited, because that means I got the point across. I want the word of God to be so simple to people that when it comes out of our mouths in this community, that people will see, hey, dude, I see something different in you, and I want to do what? Come on, I'm ready to demonstrate. Because when somebody comments or says something like that, how many of you know that's an opportunity to do what? To be a witness, right? And so as believers, we're not looking to talk people to death. We're looking to demonstrate the power of God. We're looking to demonstrate God's love. We're looking to demonstrate. Come on. Amen. See, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said this. He said that we are ambassadors, come on, sent on behalf of the kingdom of God as children of God. Now, how many of you know there's those that have been in the body of Christ? Stay with me. We're going somewhere. There's those that have been in the body of Christ that have embraced that ambassador position. And there are those that have not embraced that position. And the encouragement today is, number one, that as a shepherd of the flock of God, of this house, that you, as God's people, would embrace this calling, embrace this holy calling, embrace, come on, this thing that God has given us. Amen. And what has he given us? We said this, Jesus. Amen. Embrace it. Embrace the benefits. Embrace those covenant rights and privileges. But also demonstrate that. Be open to be a witness. And you know, the Bible says going into all the world, preaching the gospel. And we've talked about this last week, amen, that it takes faith to do that. You're going to have to believe God that when your body does not feel like going to work in the morning, that you get up by faith, you put your clothes on, you put your garments on, and you get dressed up with your jacket and do what you have to do and get where you have to be. Because why? Because that's just good stewardship of what God has already given us. What? His son Jesus. I'm not going to waste my position as an ambassador by not getting dressed and going where I need to go. Why? Because there's somebody there in that day that's going to need what? God's love, which is a part of the mission of this house. Amen. And so I want to talk to you about your relationship with God. Most Christians fail to realize that their relationship with people reflects their relationship with God. Amen. It does. And I want to make this statement here. If all you can see is what's wrong with everybody, you probably aren't getting along with God as good as you think you are. Because what? God is a God of love. Amen. And this isn't going to be one of those judge not lest you be not judged. I'm not heading there this morning. I want to hit the emphasis on the love of God and the love of God in us and how the love of God is to be demonstrated. Listen, live, love, and lead. How many of you can walk past the sign every day? We have signs on these buildings right here, and we get phone calls all the time. And it says, hey, I noticed you put a phrase up there, you belong here. Do you guys really believe that? And I said, I do. I said, I just don't put words in windows just to be cute, to fill the space. It's a conviction that God has put within us to say, hey, we really believe that you belong here. Why? Because we believe that God's love will be demonstrated here, that you will have an authentic encounter. Amen. Regardless of how little or much that we know. Come on, how many of you know this house and its staff and its team prepares for those and for you every single day and every single week? Amen. And so we're growing better and better and better in doing what? In demonstrating, not just talking, not just knowing and speaking, but demonstrating, laying hands upon the sick, being a demonstrator, an ambassador of God's love. Amen. And so I want you to open with me to the fourth chapter of 1 John as we discuss today's message, love God, love people. See, here's the thing. Love makes everything better. Love makes everything better. Remember the first time you had an encounter with God's love, with a person that was an ambassador, a representative of the kingdom of God, was a child of God. You came into contact with them. And what did you come into contact with? Love being demonstrated. Come on. Amen. Through words and an action, agape, the love of God. Amen. That's who God is. And let us never forget the simplicity of how that love impacted you and it impacted me. Amen. How many know as Christians you can be a Christian believer and make it into heaven, but your life can be sour grapes? Can I get an amen with that? You say, I don't agree. Well, whether you agree or not, it's true. Because too many Christians in the body of Christ have sour grape, come on, countenances on their face, sour grape confessions out of their mouth. It's like, it's just, come on, when you go to Biltmore and you go over there and they have a winery over there and you go to different places, maybe you've been in a vineyard or places where they have grapes and you pulled a grape off the vine and you're like, man, that is excellent. And then you go back to get another one and what do you grab? Off the same vine, out of the same body, you pull another grape and what happens? It tastes sour. It's not ready. How many of you know for those people, that's a decision. Because knowledge is available to every believer. And how many of you know when you pick up the Bible and you read and you find out for yourself about who God says that you are? How many of you know you have the scripture, the Bible, you have it on your phones? We have accessibility to the word today unlike no other generation. Amen. So there's no no excuse for a lack of knowledge. Amen. For a believer, I'm talking about believers that are already born again, received, come on, God's love. Amen. And how many of you know life, let me just say it like this. You're saying, where are you going with this? Life can make you sour if you let it. How many of you know it could change the countenance on your face if you let it? How many of you know life happening, come on. So I say it like this to my wife sometimes. I'm like, you can either let life happen to you or you can happen to life. Amen. And so I'm not speaking today to babies. I'm speaking to strong men and women of God, mature believers. Come on, mature saints, those that are born of God, that understand the authority they have in Christ. See, love makes everything better. We all have a concept of what God's love is, and that's because to some degree we've all experienced it. And some of us experienced God's love knowingly, and some of us unknowingly. In 1 John 4:19, it reads this. It says, we love him because he what? He first loved us. So if you're a Christian, you know exactly what God's love is. The Living Bible says this. It says, our love for him comes out of result as a result of his loving us first. And I would go to say it like this, that God's love is the most powerful force on the planet. Would you agree with that? Come on, the love of God is the most powerful force on the planet. And it's the only thing that God saw to fix humanity's issues. The love of God. And it's the only way which we could have access to God despite our sin and eternal separation from him. It was the love of God. Come on, he sent Jesus. He didn't want you and I to be separated. He wanted you and I to have a relationship. But we know that Adam and Eve, come on, made the wrong decision. Sin entered into the world. Come on, Satan became the little god of this world. We know that Satan transferred, or that Adam's, through Adam's sin and disobedience, he transferred that dominion over to Satan. Satan became the little god of this world. But we know according to the scriptures that Jesus came and he defeated the devil and come on, Satan. Come on, he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He took the sting out of death. When he rose from the dead, he took all power and authority from Satan, gave it back to his what? Sons and daughters. And he says, then through his apostles, says, I want you to go out and be now demonstrators of this love. And I don't just send you out as ambassadors, as weak. I give you authority. I give you power to use the name of Jesus when you pray. I give you authority and power. Come on. Mark 16:15 and Matthew 28. Over, come on, devils, demons, and demonic spirits. Over all the works of the enemy. Come on, Jesus in Colossians made a spectacle, it says, of Satan. Come on, raising up from the dead, he made a spectacle of Satan openly. You say, Pastor, tell me something that I don't know. No, let us not forget the simplicity of that message and that demonstration of love toward us, that we just look at people and be like, well, I'm just done with you, I'm over you. Amen. See, the mission of this house, again, is live, love, and lead. Amen. And so it's great that we have knowledge. It's great that we grow and we have numbers. It's great that we're moving. But are people truly being discipled with the love of God? Come on, amen. Are we really forgiving our brothers and sisters when they wrong us? Are we really letting people go when they wrong us? Amen. Or are we harboring unforgiveness? Are we keeping a file on the frontal lobe of our brain? It's an actual file cabinet, and it's labeled offense. Amen. And I'm going to keep a record of everything that everybody's ever done to me. Why? Because when God, come on, when we were born into sin. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Because of Adam and Eve, we were born into sin. But Jesus came, and he came back to bring us in fellowship with him and with the Father. And so, again, you know, despite humanity's issues, the love of God is the only way which we could have access to God. Think about that. Come on. The love, God said, I love you so much. John 3:16 says this. The first 8 words says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. This is not just a scripture to preach for somebody who needs salvation. This scripture right here is also scripture for you and me who are believers in Christ, have received Christ, and it's for us, come on, that are mature. It's thus for those who are babes. No matter what your spiritual growth and your walk and where you're at with God, this scripture is for you and for me. Because it's a reminder that God loved you so much that he gave, and the word was used was the word begotten son. And so God's love, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. Maybe you're counseling some people and you're spending time with people. And maybe you're a professional counselor or you're just a Christian. But you find yourself in areas where you're an ambassador. You know you're an ambassador. You know you're set on behalf of the kingdom. God has sent you out. Come on. We're the called out ones. We're the sent ones. We're the ones that are going into, come on, we're looking for revival, and revival is right there in your heart and in your mouth and right there in your community. Revival starts when you begin to take this very message of love and you love God and then you go love people. Amen. And so growth isn't going to happen until we begin to love, one, ourselves. Because, you know, you can't really start working on loving other people when you don't even like your own self. So, number one, we need to start right at home. We need to quit speaking death over our lives. We need to quit saying, I'm a loser. Come on, every time you mess up, you have developed mechanisms in your life, whether it's a speaking message, well, I'm just foolish. I've been correcting this in my own child, my oldest son. He gets in trouble. Amen. And then he gets in not bad trouble, it's just easy stuff. How many of you know it's like lightweight material? You know what I mean? And he's thinking as a kid, this is the cliff, this is the plank. Come on, my hands are tied, the sword's in my gut, and I'm being pushed off the plank. That's how he sees it. But a lot of us have been in Christ for so long that we don't see it like that anymore. We're like, no big deal. But see, spiritually speaking, when we're ministering to people in the world, we need to learn to identify where they're at, because they feel like rope is tied around them, the sword's being pointed at them, and they're being pushed off the plank. Does this resonate this morning? And so what happens is when God's love, authentic love, shows up, it goes over and it grabs the sword. And it grabs the sword and removes the sword away from the belly. Come on, maybe it's just a word of encouragement. Maybe it's just an action of just buying somebody some groceries or a cup of coffee that says, I'm going to help you remove a refrigerator today. Come on, I'm going to look out not only for my interests, but I know somebody that needs a washer and a dryer. Do you hear what I'm saying? And you run into somebody, and you could be what? Love can be a one who networks for somebody else, not just thinking about your own interests, but the interest of others. And what's awesome is when God's kids understand this love, the sacrificial love, the only begotten of the only begotten son, and it begins to be experiential. It begins to be demonstrated, not just preached, not just talked about. See, I just give you a practical way that love can be demonstrated. Amen. Maybe when you're going through a hardship and things are happening and you're like, man, I'm speaking the word. I'm saying what God said. Well, be looking out for outside of you, get out of your bubble, and start looking at the greater picture. Is I am an ambassador. What, Lord, would you have me to do today? Now, I'm going to go to work, but what would you have me to do there? Who would you have me to speak to? Amen. And not just invite them to church. It's great when we invite people to church, but what would you have for me to say, even if my position was, Lord, these people ain't never going to come to a church. Would you still love them? Would you still be that ambassador that removes the sword from the gut and says, I know you're tied with a rope, but I'm here to let you know that there's this authentic love of God, and I'm one of his kids, and I want to show you today that God is good. And then God says they need healing in their body and their mind. And he says, remember in the book of James when I told you to pray, believers? Come on, the elders of the church. Get the anointing oil out. Let's anoint them with oil. Let's pray over them. And the Lord, come on, will heal the sick and raise them up. How about by his stripes? 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes we were. But see, they're tied up with the rope. They don't know. Come on. Amen. And so don't allow the simplicity of John 3. So, well, I'm born again. Well, there's other people that don't really understand the deepness of the scripture. Amen. See, God's love, again, you're counseling somebody, God's love. God's love is sacrificial. God's love, listen, always gives toward the betterment of others. God's love makes everything better. It does. It makes everything better. God's love. 1 Corinthians, let's move this a little faster. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8 and 11 in the Amplified says this. It says, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but do not have what? Come on, let me hear you. Do not have love. Now, that is that storge? Is that phileo? Come on, is that eros? Or is it talking about agape? It's talking about agape, the love of God. How do you know there's different types of love? It says, if I can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, the love of God, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for and in us, I am a noisy gong and a clangy cymbal. I want to say this. It's time for us to stop looking at other camps and other denominations as if we're not ever noisy or clangy sometimes. Can I just say that? We look at, I won't mention them by name, but we look at other denominations as if we're just it in a bag of chips as Pentecostal. How many of you know there's times where we can be noisy and gongy? And that's where we need to step back into that ambassadorship role and let the Holy Ghost to bring some help and some ministry and some love to you. Maybe you are going through something, and I'm not minimalizing that, but you need to get yourself around four crazy friends who will remind you of God's love for you, even though you've served Christ for 50 years, 20 years, for 10 minutes. Verse 2, it says, if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but what? There it is again, have not love. And what does it say after that? God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Verse 3, if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but I do not what? I have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. See, Paul lists some pretty amazing gifts and generous acts, yet he says without love, they are what? Useless. This is the Apostle Paul, folks. In the next few verses, Paul gives us a working definition of what God's love looks like. So what does God, his perfect love in us, look like? Let's read. So in verse 4, it says this, love, God's love in me, endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, never boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Verse 5 said, is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride, is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Now, I want you to grab this right here. If you're highlighting in your phone, take your finger, hit the highlight button, hit the underline button in your Bible app. I want you to underline this statement right here. And if you got your pens and you're like one who writes in your Bible, I want you to write and underline the statement right here in verse 5. It says, love, God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not what? Self-seeking. If there's any scripture that needs to be highlighted in the Bible, it is this one right here. This one will help you with offense. This one will help you when people treat you wrong. This one will help you when people come into your world and they say wrong things, they do wrong things, you've given them money, you've helped them do everything you know to do. Come on, maybe you're a grandma and a grandpa and you've helped your children. Maybe you've taken in other people's kids and you've been a blended family before. Amen. And so you've merged families together, and maybe you were a person, a man, woman, or a wife, or a husband that took difficult children under your wing, and you poured all the love that you could possibly could, and you were that ambassador, you were that life force, you were that encouraging word, and they went through a season of life where they turn around and they spoke fatal words to you. You know what I mean by fatal? They were words that were sent from hell to you because they got over into what the Bible calls, the Apostle Paul says, the flesh. As a believer, if they were a believer, how many of you know if they're not born again, then they're not born again and they're not alive unto God, so they're going to act according to their nature. Amen. They're unsaved and they have a different nature than a child of God. Amen. Praise God. And so this love God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Underline those words, own rights and its own way. And then underline, it's not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Love, God's love in us, it takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. You know how hard that is? Can I just be honest right there? Can we be just straightforward as sons and daughters this morning and children of God? This is the most trying thing in my life right here. And you say, well, why? We're going to get to it. We're going to speak about this right here. Love, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Verse 7. Here's love. God's love in us does what? It bears up under anything and everything that comes. It does what? Love, God's love in us, God's love in us bears up under anything and everything that comes. Listen to this. Under everything and anything that comes. That pretty much sums it all up right there. Amen. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this in verse 7. Love, God's love in us is ever ready to believe the best of every person. That's pretty crystal clear. There's no expounding upon that. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love, God's love in us, never fails. Grab this. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or ever comes to an end. And then we jump down. You'll jump down to verse 11. It says this, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and now that I've become a man, I am done with what? Childish ways. We need to underline that statement right there. I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. So being offended, I want to say this statement, being offended is childish and can be outgrown the moment we receive God's love in our recreated Christian hearts. Romans 5:5 says this, and it tells us that God's very own love has been poured out in our hearts to every believer. And as a Christian, you now have what it takes to mature spiritually in this God kind of love. Amen. And so really, what are you speaking of today? This isn't just a message to say, hey, you need to walk in love. It's a message to say, many of us are already doing this. We've grown in this word right here. We know God's love's in us. We know and understand 1 Corinthians, but I want us to get to a place where we're just not knowing that for ourselves. We're knowing it for a generation. Rachel, if you'll come on up. We're knowing it for a generation. We have this information and this revelation for a generation right now that we're getting ready to step into that need. Come on, I'm not receiving your Christ. Come on. Some of you in the world are just like, I hate your God. But the moment they fall into crises, are we offended at what they say to us and how other Christians that need to be restored that have walked away from God? Are we living a life of offense to where we're taking such an account of the words that they say that we're becoming offended? We're stepping away from God's love when God says, no, don't be offended at what they're saying, because it's just an opportunity for the enemy to use those words to repel an ambassador that has the way, the truth, and the life in them. That when you sidestep, how many of you know God said, don't sidestep those idle words. Don't become offended. Don't allow offense to come in, whether it's from a believer or somebody who is not a believer. Why? Because you have something in you. And how many know God is going to correct that in that person? But that correction is going to come when it's demonstrated through love and not, I'm offended, I'm mad, and I'm coming at you with some words, and they're going to be vicious, baby. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith Aaron. No, it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith what? The Lord. You're not to take vengeance. You're not to go out and strike people and judge people. Remember the Bible? Says this, that he freely gave his life. You think Jesus endured some persecution? Do you think Jesus, I'm closing right here, you think Jesus endured some hostility? Write the scripture down, Hebrews 12:3, if you're taking notes. And I want you to print this off if you can. I want you to put it on the front of your phone, because you're coming into a time and a season where we're talking about the love of God, but you're coming into the last days of the last days, and you're going to see what Timothy and a lot of the prophets talked about, that men's hearts will wax cold. Men will be lovers of themselves, boastful, blasphemers. We're living in that day right now, and it's not going to get any better. We're moving into a greater portion of that, that the Bible already says is coming and spoke of. So what are you saying? Don't be an offended Christian. See, we need to love God and love people. If we aren't walking in love, we aren't walking with God. It's as simple as that. 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for he who does not love does not know God, for what? God is what? Love." And here's the thing I'm trying to get across today is I think we all understand that there's a need to love the sinner. Would we agree with that? I've made reference to that my whole message. But see, we have this understanding because ourselves were once lost and we were found because of what? God's love. Remember when you were doing what you were doing before Jesus Christ. Does anybody remember? Come on, you remember what God set you free from? This would be a good time to look and reflect back. You say, I don't want to think about it. No, some of us need to go back and realize that you changed your whole family by obeying God and receiving Christ. So now that your kids and your grandkids will see a different, come on, you will experience a different you. Your grandkids will never know your past. They'll never know where you came from unless it's revealed to them. Amen. And so look where you came from. Look how your whole, I can say in my family, Bob, my whole family was changed when my mom and dad made a decision to serve God. My whole, I don't believe I would be a pastor today if it wasn't for my mother and my father living for Jesus. I can tell you that straight up. Amen. I remember my grandmother, my dad's mom. There's times where I come over and she would have Christian television on. And Oral Roberts would be on the television. Not all the times, but sometimes. And I'm in Florida, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, who is this guy? I'm a kid going, who is this guy? And then she'd turn it over to Andy Griffith and Murder, She Wrote, and, you know, Columbo. Anybody remember those shows? But see, there are things. Come on, your life is not your own. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. See, John Bevere said this, an offended heart is the breeding ground of deception. John Bevere is a Bible teacher, runs his own ministry in the body of Christ. He made this wonderful statement. Let me say it again. An offended heart is the breeding ground of deception. Amen. See, anytime we are turning ourselves or others away from the law of love and grace, we're operating in offense and on a slippery slope towards sin. That's a big word right there. So when I look back over my life receiving Christ, I could say this, that at times the most trouble I've had with people have been with other Christians. You say, that's pretty strong. See, the world seems to have more grace and loyalty than sometimes believers in the body of Christ. Not all the time, just sometimes. You say, man, that's a straight up hardcore statement. No, this is a message for this house. Live, love, lead. I don't want it just talked about as a pastor. I want to see that God, yes, we're going to miss it sometimes. Yes, we're going to make decisions that aren't the best, but God's with us. And when we're yielded to God's love, we just make the adjustment in our heart and say, Father, I've done that every day of my life. Lord, I didn't make the right decision here. Amen. But I thank you for your help getting me back on track. And how many know he'll do that? Amen. So you know what that does? It takes the pressure off of, condemnation and guilt and shame. And who cares if you miss it? Welcome to life. Everybody in this room, you woke up today and you got to church. I guarantee you there's either some kid or something that wanted to make you upset or somebody driving you off the highway. You know what I'm saying? There's always something going on in this world. Oh, there's too much ice on the highway. I'm just going to stay home today. Come on, don't allow the enemy to be at work. Don't allow him to devise thoughts, ideas, and suggestions in your head. Don't allow offense. Come on. to be in your thoughts. Resist those thoughts. Amen? Resist. Resist. Why? Because I'm an ambassador. I've got a message of love, the love of God in my heart. It is to be poured out to this generation. And let me, yeah, thank you. And this is what you're going to see. Can I just talk a little bit about, I'm done. For reference sake, I'm going to go ahead and say this, but the love of God needs to be demonstrated. And here's the thing. When you're yielded, come on, you may not make every right decision to do everything right, but here's what I feel like the Lord's encouraging me, and this is where we're going to close right here, is the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, listen, it's not, when you have a greater revelation of the love of God for you, you're going to be more bold to step out, to pray, to lay your hands upon people, to minister to people. When we have this revelation and a greater revelation of God's love in us, working through us, his love for you and for me, you're going to be that bold Christian that makes that bold confession of faith. That's going to be that bold Christian. Come on, God's saying, would you yield to my word? Would you be a doer of my word? Would you be an ambassador? And he's saying, go out and demonstrate. So what are we doing? 1 John 3:14-16. If we love other Christians, it proves that we have been delivered from hell and given eternal life. But a person who doesn't have love for others is heading toward eternal death. Verse 15, anyone who hates his Christian brother is really a murderer at heart. And you know that no one wanting to murder has eternal life within. Verse 16, we know that real love is from Christ's example in dying for us. And so we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Moving on to Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 3, if you're taking notes. It says, dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by sin. Now here's what I've been talking about in the last 35 minutes right here. We're closing. See, there's a lot of brothers and sisters out there that need to be restored. They need love. They already feel judged. They already feel like Christians are coming at them. How many of you know that's not always the case? But when your thought life is yielded to wrong thoughts, the enemy can build, Satan can build a stronghold in their mind to think that you've messed up so bad you can't come back home. I'm not talking about to your church, I'm talking about to Christ. Amen. And so here's the thing here that I want to close with this. It said, you who are godly, say that's me. Oh, be bold, say that's me. You who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. See, this is where that whole judge not lest you be judged, with the same measure you judge, it will be measured back to you. It's that whole scripture about removing the plague out of your own eye. And you say, well, why are you preaching that? Because you're going to run into, this ain't a message necessarily for you as it is, but you're going to run into people that are going to be like, well, you're just trying to, you know, it's a plank situation. Get your sword off my belly. No, say, man, I'm here to push the sword away. I'm here to take the sword, cut off the rope, remove you off the plank, and help you back to your father because he loves you and he's ready for you to come home. And it's a prodigal situation. You've been eating hog food, pig food out of the trough, and it's time for the ring to be put back on your finger. It's time, come on, for the cloak to be put back on your shoulders. It's time for new garments, and it's time to throw a party because this is what Jesus thinks about you. Now, I'm talking to somebody that has stepped away from God, that has already received Christ, but is just having a hard time returning. God never gave up on you. That's the mission and heart of this church. That's what's going on in the body of Christ right now. God is speaking to his people. So when God puts somebody on your heart and says, man, where you been? Pick up your phone, pick up the text, pick up your Facebook Messenger, get on your Snapchat, get on your rotary phone, get on the internet and send the email. Do not hesitate. God's love will be demonstrated through your words. Come on, you begin to type that letter, God will put his love upon your fingertips and he'll help you get a message out to that person that, hey man, I'm here for you. Hey lady, I'm here for you. See, the true sign of a spiritual mature person is not their ability to shame sin, but rather their ability to restore the sinner. Come on, this is what this church is about. This is what this house is about. It's about restoring people, loving people. Correction is a part of love. Come on, But it's not done with religious Pharisee, Sadducee, religious words. It's done with, hey, brother, let's talk. Hey, sister, let's talk. Amen? And what is this called? It's called the body of Christ. It's called the kingdom of God. See, it doesn't matter how many scriptures you have and how many gifts you operate in. Without God's love displayed toward others, we are accomplishing nothing. Absolutely nothing. The love of God, listen to this. Write this statement down. Tweet it. Text it as a believer. The love of God never battles against someone else. The love of God, it doesn't battle against it. Come on, let's go to war. You want a war? The love of God doesn't battle. You know what the love of God does? You go into your prayer time, you go into your drive time to work, and you say, Lord, you told me not to battle, but it's a different type of battle. It's called prayer, praying for them. If they're a believer, how many know you can write down these chapters, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. Their prayers the Apostle Paul gave to the Christian church, to the church at Ephesus, to believers. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays, said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. If you look that up, that means like the veil. Come on, there's like a veil in front of their spiritual eyes, and God's going, I'm putting my hand on that, and I'm removing the curtain from their spiritual eyeballs that they may see. And his words and his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Come on. And his ways are higher than your ways. So, minimize the fighting in 2020. Minimize the warfare in your mind by walking in the love of God. Love is the way to victory in any situation. God's love in us protects, it restores, it heals, and it accepts. It sacrifices, it covers, it gives, and it believes in others. So if you love God, you're going to have to love what he loves. Stand with me today as we close. If you love God, you're going to have to love. Come on, church. If you love God, you're going to have to love what he loves. I'm going to say it two more times. If you love God, you're going to have to love what he loves. If you love God, you're going to have to love what he loves. And he loves people. He loves people. Don't allow life to callous your heart. Don't allow experiences in life to make you so hard. And we receive that today in Jesus' name. And Father, as we close out this week, we thank you, come on, church, for a dynamic, come on, 2020. That 2020 will not be 2019. It'll be even better. Come on, the year of Jubilee, a harvest year, a plentiful year. Do you believe that, church? Come on, lift it up. Do you believe that? Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you. We love you.